I don't know about y'all, but the NBA and NBC theme music always gets me energized. Welcome in to a Monday edition of Locked On Rockets, the new daily show taking you inside the workings of the Houston Rockets and giving you the inside scoop on everything going on at Toyota Center with your favorite basketball team. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. By day, I'm a reporter for Sports Talk 790, the official flagship radio station of the team. But in addition to that, this month, we're launching the new Locked On Rockets daily podcast. We thank you guys for listening through our first week. This is our second week of operation, and we plan to keep running for quite a while. So old listeners, thank you. New listeners, we appreciate you giving us a chance, and we hope that it'll be worth your while as the offseason moves forward and we get closer to the 2016-2017 season. I think we've got a good show for you today. As far as news, there's not a ton new from when we last talked to you on Friday. The main situation with the Rockets remains Donatus Mani-Yunus and figuring out what exactly is going on with his restricted free agency. It's frustrating because we haven't heard that much, but from a practical standpoint, this is par for the course for the Rockets in restricted free agency. The way Daryl Morey operates is to let the market define the value for those players. So it can lead to kind of an uncomfortable dance for a few weeks, and hopefully the Rockets and D-Mo will be able to come to an agreement themselves, as they did a few years back with Kyle Lowry and Luis Scola. If Mani-Yunus comes to an agreement elsewhere, the Rockets, of course, will still have the right to match any outside offer for 3 days. And with most of their cap room already being allocated and the Rockets really not being able to reallocate Mani-Yunus's resources for much else, especially with the free agent market drying up, it would be a real surprise if he weren't back. But until we get that tweet or that text message that he's staying or he's signed a deal elsewhere, there's really not a lot to say besides really the run-throughs that we've already been through. So until then, we're looking at everything else going on with the team this offseason, and really the headliner has been James Harden and the changes we've seen in him, both physically and mentally, from a leadership perspective. We had a great show Friday with Salman Ali, the managing editor of RedNationHoops.com, who wrote a great article on the maturation of James Harden and the changes we've seen in him in the 2016 offseason compared to 2015. And really, just hours after posting that show on Friday, we had even more evidence of that. Lang Whitaker, reporter at NBA.com, got a Q&A with James Harden out in Vegas, which covered everything, really, from his shoe line to defense to his relationship with Mike D'Antoni and his outlook for the Rockets franchise moving forward. And Harden gave a lot of candid answers. Really, the reception has been strong. A lot of people like it. He was very blunt. He said that there was a correlation between his extreme workload on offense and his lapses on defense. That's something I've said before, and I give him points for honesty. However, there are a lot of people that are disappointed in the team this past year that didn't like the appearance of him passing the buck onto someone or something else for his defensive lapses. They wanted him to take more of a it's-on-me approach and accept responsibility. But either way, it's generated a lot of talk over the weekend. If you haven't read it yet, I encourage you to. The article is on NBA.com. It's by Lang Whitaker. It's titled Harden Relishes Fresh Start, Getting Stability with Rockets. And it's really a good Monday afternoon or Tuesday morning read for you guys. In the meantime, as we're waiting for Donatus Mani-Yunus news or anything else that general manager Daryl Morey might throw at us, we're trying to really judge the best we can what James Harden is doing and what we can expect for the season based on what we know now. So in addition to my own thoughts, I'm trying to get in others throughout the Rockets community and see, you know, if we're on the same page, where the Rockets need to improve. Are we impressed? Are we feeling bad? Basically, what is the temperature for this franchise? We had Salman Ali on Friday, and today I'm going to have Matthew Cardenas. He is an associate editor over at Last Word on Sports and a writer for Salman over at Red Nation Hoops. He's a good friend of the show. He's been very helpful spreading the message for Locked On Rockets on Twitter, and he's definitely got some opinions on this interview. So if you will stick with me, I'm going to get him on the show and kind of let me and him go back and forth on our takeaways from this Harden Q&A. And now we've got Matthew Cardenas on the phone with us. Matthew is, of course, the writer at Red Nation Hoops and an associate editor over at Last Word on Sports. Matthew, how's it going today?
I'm doing great, man. Just got off of work. I'm doing great. I'm really thankful you had me on here. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, glad to have you join the show. You've been a really good supporter of us, and we always want to get our Rockets community as involved and engaged as we can. I've been talking the last few minutes about Harden's comments over the weekend and his interview with Lang Whitaker of NBA.com, a Q&A, and I know you've read that as well. And the first thing I want to get to are the comments that he said about his defense. And I'm just going to read this for our listeners before we go into it. The question was, do you feel like you get a bad rap for your defense? And Harden's response is, yeah, but everybody makes mistakes. I can look up the same amount of plays for myself as well as other top guys in the league. So I don't really worry. I don't really focus on it. And now with the more talent, that's going to release some offensive pressure off me. I'm going to be able to go out there and play both ends of the floor at a high level. It's really difficult to go out there, play all 82 games, lead the league in minutes, and have to do everything offensively. I mean, no one else had that weight on their shoulders in the league. So like I said, it doesn't really bother me. I focus on what I got to do, and I go out there and do it. And that quote, it's really been a lightning rod over the weekend on Rockets Twitter and NBA Twitter, because there are obviously a lot of fans who want him to accept responsibility for his struggles on defense. And, you know, he's mentioning other factors. He's mentioning the high usage, the lack of offensive talent around him. And there are people who prefer for him, at least for PR reasons, to just go out there and say, hey, it's on me. I'm going to, you know, be more in shape, whatever. As you probably know from listening to this podcast, I like what he said. I like that he's being bluntly honest, because it was not reasonable for anyone to have the level of fitness to take on the offensive workload that the Rockets asked of him and then be locked in on the defensive end at all times. Where did you come in on that?
The thing with that whole answer was, like you said, he's not lying. Because if you go back to his interview when he signed that contract extension a few weeks ago, even when he was asked about the defense there, Les Alexander stopped Harden and said, okay, hold on, let me take this one for you. And he's saying exactly what James is saying. Harden didn't have as much help as he was used to having. He has to do everything on the offensive end. He's the scorer, he's the distributor, and he's the playmaker. And then on the defensive end, you know, it's hard for him to do everything people want him to do on the defensive end. And he's not lying when he says, I can go find clips of other players doing the exact same things I do. Steph Curry does it all the time. Well, even LeBron does it. When people of these tiers in the NBA have this kind of workload, they're not going to be able to bring the same intensity every single play. And like he said in his answer, I led the league in minutes. Harden barely sat out any minutes this year. He played every single game. So when you look at it from that perspective, he said the best answer possible. And I get it. A lot of people aren't really satisfied with what he said. But if you look into it, you have to be okay with what he said, because he's not lying. And I really do think he actually did take some account for his defensive struggle, because he did say, you know, hey, I know I didn't do the best I could have done on the defensive end, but then alluded to saying, now that I have help on the defensive end and the offensive end, he won't be as tired. He has a little more playmaking from the new acquisition, so I think it'll take a big load off of him, and he'll be able to feel a little more energized on both ends of the court.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I do have the background knowledge of just seeing him at Toyota Center a couple of weeks ago. He's in phenomenal shape. The last 3 months of the year, part of the problem with his defense, there was really a big split this past year between the first 2 to 2.5 months, and then from about mid-January onward, when he rounded into shape, he was at times very good defensively and really ratcheted up his production. So the people I've talked to at Toyota Center say he is pissed off. He is angry about the team's perception, his personal perception, and he's going out there to work. And so as long as he's taking care of the issues he needs to take care of on his end, he can be honest with the rest of it, because it's not like he's, you know, going to report to camp out of shape or he's not doing his part. He's doing his part. The other issue is that if he were to say, well, it's on me, and I'm just going to use that, the Tracy McGrady phrase, it's on me. If he were to do that, that's the standard PR answer. There's a downside to that, too, because if you're given the Tracy McGrady PR answer and then something different happens on the floor, you're going to have to answer to that. The good example that I point to is Dwight Howard with the Hawks. You know, Sean Pendergast over at 610, he's called it Dwight Howard's PR tour, kind of mockingly, because in Houston we know that what Dwight Howard says in interviews does not always match what happens on the floor. But, and so when you do that, he can say it's all on me, but then who does it really serve? You know, it might make everybody on Twitter feel good, and it might get a few better headlines in the off season. But then when things start happening a different way, it doesn't benefit. It's like when Dwight Howard talks about his willingness to be more of a pick-and-roll player. Well, when he goes out there and isn't willing to do that, or isn't able, depending on how you look at it, then that's eventually going to be a problem. Whereas if Harden's being honest here and saying, hey, the biggest key for me playing defense is having the help so that my workload on offense is not as extreme, then that allows the Rockets to address it and, you know, go out and get players like Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, and Nene to hopefully take off his workload on offense.
And when you think about it with the Dwight Howard thing, he was actually number one in post touches this year, even though he was complaining about not getting the ball enough. But, I mean, that's a whole different story. Dwight's gone now. I think Harden is a little relieved, to be honest. I'm heartened that Dwight is gone now. And when you think about last season, going to the training camp, Harden had an ankle injury, I think, a few weeks before training camp. So he didn't have the time to get in shape. Because it doesn't just take 2 weeks to get in shape for an NBA season. It can take almost half the season to finally say, hey, I'm in shape for the season. And when you look at it with Harden, with NBA Twitter, almost at this point, nothing he does will make the media happy. I think the media has kind of made Harden their enemy. They don't like Harden. All they want to do is completely forget everything he did for Houston last season. Forget that he averaged 29-7-6. And all they're going to point to is, okay, but he had that one bad defensive play on the court. Which is one, it just doesn't make sense to me, because they don't know what Harden had to go through last season. Because, you know, there are games where he just looks exhausted and he's literally giving it 110% effort every single night. He got Houston to the playoffs when at times last season you really had to think to yourself, okay, maybe Houston just isn't making the playoffs, but he found a way to do it. He even got the Rockets one win against the Warriors. And, I mean, obviously they didn't win the series. They weren't projected to win the series. But he got one win. And I think that's a good boost for them going into the next season.
Yeah, and that's another good point, which is why play the PR game if you don't really trust the media to accurately reflect you anyway? You know, just be honest rather than play that game if you don't think that that you're going to get a fair shake in how the story turns out. Another part of the interview with NBA.com and Harden, they asked him, how do you feel you fit into Mike D'Antoni's system, and how do you feel his system benefits you? And again, I'm just going to quickly read his answer. Harden says, you know what? The day he got hired, we watched film. We've communicated several times a week. You know, it's going to work. I'm really excited about it because he's prepared. He's prepared. He's given me knowledge. He's given me the things where I can fit into his offense and what he's trying to do. And not only myself, but the entire team. I asked him questions about how Patrick Beverley fits and how the new guys that we got fit. So it's exciting. And we added Bezdelic, who was the head defensive coach for Memphis. You know, everybody talks about the Rockets aren't a good defensive team. Well, we got one of the best defensive coaches in the league now. So it's all about preparation. In this league, it's all about preparation, putting guys in positions where they're successful and good things happen. That's the end of the quote. I came out really encouraged by that because, to me, that's a guy who sounds excited about being coached. And that's a change. And that's a change for the Rockets. Because when you think about it, if the Rockets did one thing wrong in the past 3 or 4 years in terms of how they constructed their roster, I think they kind of put too much of an emphasis on flexibility. You know, they brought in guys. Obviously, Kevin McHale was a known player's coach. J.B. Bickerstaff, to a lesser extent, was as well. And the assumption was that it would make them more attractive to stars like James Harden and what they believed Dwight Howard to be, to kind of let them call their own shots. What I think you're seeing more of around the league, this quote from Harden, obviously structure played a role in Kevin Durant's move to Golden State. You're seeing guys, they want to be coached. They want to be in the best basketball situation. James Harden knows he can't do it himself, so he wants to be in a structured system, which is going to give him him and the team the best chance to develop.
The first two sentences of the quote really stood out to me when he said, you know what, the day he got hired, we watched film. So right from the get-go, Harden and then Tony said, hey, us two can really mesh well together. So let's go in the film room, let's look at some of the stuff that you've done as in D'Antoni and show how I can fit into that. Because here's the thing. When D'Antoni was with the Lakers, he didn't have what he had with Steve Nash in Phoenix. He didn't have that really good playmaker and facilitator. And that's kind of what D'Antoni needs for the system. He doesn't need that many of them, but he needs one player who he knows will get the ball to everyone else, and that's Harden. And so now Harden and D'Antoni are looking at the film, and just like Harden said, D'Antoni is showing me how I can fit. And I like how Harden's also asking, hey, I know obviously how I fit is important, but I want to make sure that everybody else fits into the system. And that's a big leadership step for Harden, because obviously the past few years, Harden has been questioned as a leader. But I think this summer, Harden's really opened up about Houston, his leadership, the reputation he has, and he's saying, like, admittedly, hey, I'm not the best leader. I haven't been, but I'm ready to take that next step. And I also like that he mentioned how they have one of the better defensive coaches in the NBA now.
Yeah.
So he looks, Harden looks rejuvenated, he looks locked in, and he looks ready to build something special in Houston, and that was kind of made known when he signed the contract extension.
Yeah, and Jeff Bezdelic, yeah, it's a big deal to hear player like Harden talking about an assistant, because that usually doesn't happen. Having been around the Rockets, the last time I remember players speaking that fondly about an assistant was Kelvin Sampson before he ended up leaving back in April 2014, and they've never really filled that defensive void since. So to hear him talk not just about the head coach, but an assistant, that's very encouraging to how he's buying in. But I think the bigger picture, you know, it just speaks well to James that he wants that kind of system. Because in the past, as we said, the Rockets have kind of gone the players coach model, believing that maybe that's what stars want. And back when they hired D'Antoni in May, there were a lot of naysayers saying, well, you know, is he more of the same? No, he's really not. Mike D'Antoni and Bezdelic too on the defensive end, these are guys with a very defined structured system, X's and O's. This is not just going out and freelancing and allowing the players to do as they want. This is coaches that are going to, as you said, have the players watch film, be used in a certain way. So if Harden didn't care about the team structure or just wanted to do his own thing, I don't think he would buy into this model. To me, him buying into this model is a good sign, as you said, that his head is in the right place.
And what else I liked about the D'Antoni hire was it happened before free agency. So, because when players go into free agency meetings and the teams that they're looking at doesn't have a coach, it makes them a little iffy about signing there because they don't know what exactly their fit is going to be in that system. But they were able to get D'Antoni before free agency, which then made it easier to go to the meetings and be able to show Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon, even Kent Bazemore about how they were going to fit in the system. And Harden being at those meetings probably makes those players feel better. Like, oh, wow, James Harden wants me on my team. And I think that makes the players feel better about themselves. Because Ryan Anderson, he's been linked to Houston for the past 3 or 4 years. It was just never really able to be finalized. And now that he was a free agent, he said, you know what? James Harden is a special player. I really need to go play with him if I want to up my game. And I also think this kind of kills the narrative that nobody wants to play with James Harden. Because that narrative was really starting to come around when Dwight Howard was growing unhappy with his role in Houston.
Right, and Kevin Durant didn't give him a meeting and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly, but honestly, it was with Durant, it was kind of a, he's probably not going to even consider Houston.
Yeah.
And I think what else makes it easier for Harden is that on the offensive end, with the system, there won't be isos. There won't be as many isolation plays because that's what the majority of the Rockets' offense was last season. It's let Harden hold the ball until about 10 seconds up on the shot clock, and then he can do his work. Which, honestly, doesn't really help because it just makes the players more tired and can leave the bad shots at the end of the shot clock. But now, it's the 7 seconds or less offense, so Harden and the Rockets will be able to get into their offense a little easier, a little faster. And what they've been able to do is surround Harden with a bunch of shooters. Ariza, Anderson, Gordon, Beverly. Those are all very consistent three-point shooters, especially Ryan Anderson. And we've seen Eric Gordon, when healthy, can actually be another playmaker for Harden.
Yep. And to kind of echo what you were saying, another question in that Q&A at NBA.com was, you know, the thought process behind signing the long-term extension. And Harden said, for me, it's not about money at all. Financially, I'm pretty well. It's about winning. It's about building something. When I first got to Houston, I got an opportunity to have my own organization, to be a leader and do it the right way, how I wanted it to be done. So me locking myself in, having the opportunity to get guys around me who want to do the same thing, the mindset is great character guys who want to win, and I'm here for it. I think you hit the nail right on the head that the reason he locked in was so that he could go into those meetings with Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon and say, hey, this is the plan. I'm going to lock in as well, because that's what's going to make the organization more attractive to them as well as guys in the future. And that's a big step. As I talked about with Salman Ali on Friday, that's exactly what you want to hear from your franchise player, that, you know, he doesn't have 1 foot out the door the way Kevin Durant did in Oklahoma City, or he's, you know, considering his options. You know that he's going to be there, and that's the biggest thing to attracting more talent to the organization. The last question in this Q&A, and I think it's a pretty good one, NBA.com mentions, last season kind of overshadows what happened 2 years ago when the Rockets made it to the Western Conference Finals. What do the Rockets have to do to get back to that level? And James says, well, basically half our players are new, and there's an entirely new coaching staff. So it's about culture. It's about doing things the right way and holding each other accountable. That's something we kind of lacked last year, and it showed. I'm just excited to have some stability, have some guys who are going to work and focus on winning. This year is going to be a lot better. To me, he hit the nail right on the head there. It's about culture. It's about accountability. And for those wondering when it's going to come from James Harden, if it's your franchise player saying that, to me, that's what you want to hear.
The thing is, exactly like what you said, when the franchise player has something that strong to say, it's really going to echo with the franchise, the players, the coaching staff, because the players will feel better now when they think to themselves, okay, wow, James is really, he's locked in on making Houston a special basketball city, or even more special. But the culture thing is what really stood out to me that Harden said, because you think about it, Harden's been in Vegas for a long period of time this summer, but he's not there by himself. We've seen him at Summer League games with D'Antoni, with Beverly, with Ariza. And not only are they just watching Summer League games together, they're working out together. They're already integrating Anderson and Gordon into their culture and kind of showing them how they run things and how things will be easier for them. And I think just from those summer workouts, they'll be able to go into the season kind of already having a feel for each other, and that'll make the process on the court a lot easier.
Yeah, I would agree. Matthew, really glad to have you on the show. Glad, as always, for you listening and all the kind words. Why don't you toss out your Twitter handle and where folks can find you?
My Twitter handle is Cardenas, C-A-R-D-N-A-S, M-A-L-W-O-S. You can find me on there on Twitter. I'm always trying to get engaged with my followers, giving out my opinions. I like to have conversations on there. You can find me on Last Word on Sports, and you can find me on Red Nation Hoops.
Sounds good. Well, Matthew, thank you so much for the time, and we'll be talking to you soon.
No problem. You have a good one.
You too. That's Matthew Cardenas, associate editor over at Last Word on Sports and a good friend of the program. We thank him for his time. And really, I thought he made some good points. It's easy to build a case for optimism with these Rockets because the biggest problem a year ago, they were not as good as the sum of the parts. They were not buying in to a shared goal. What you're hearing out of Toyota Center this offseason, you have players, coaches, management, everyone is in line. And really, it goes back to that final quote from Harden about the culture, doing things the right way, and holding each other accountable. That's exactly what you want to hear in a big change from this past year from the Rockets. And I mentioned this on Friday's show, but I really wonder if Dwight Howard's exit is playing a role in Harden's increased willingness to say and do these things. I'm not blaming Dwight. I don't think Dwight actively worked against any of these ideas. However, I think it may have made James Harden a little apprehensive about truly taking the reins in that locker room. Because when Dwight signed here in July 2013, he was the guy who wanted to be the face of the franchise. He was the guy who wanted to be the voice in the locker room. He was actually a couple years older and more experienced than James. So he kind of put that upon himself. And really, he was looked at as the leader of the team. So even though James was the best player, especially the last couple of years, from a leadership perspective, from an organization perspective, I think it may have been tough for him to fully command the team with the type of presence and the style that he wanted. Now that Dwight's gone, yes, you've replaced him with some quality players in Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon, and also Nene, for that matter, with the room exception, but none of these guys are on a James Harden or even close to James Harden level. This is his team, and that allows James to evolve into a different kind of player, and more specifically, a different kind of leader. And it's not Dwight's fault that it didn't happen before. I think Dwight tried his best, and he certainly was not a bad guy in the locker room. However, I think his exit might be playing a role in James taking this next step into the kind of player and person that I think Rockets fans and the Rockets organization has wanted him to be for some time. On that note, I think we can wrap up this Monday edition of Locked On Rockets. I want to thank Matthew Cardenas again for joining us, associate editor at Last Word on Sports, and you can find him there as well as at Red Nation Hoops. Of course, you can find me at Ben Dubose, and you can find the show at Locked On Rockets. We're going to come to you daily, Monday through Friday, with everything going on with the team. We're hoping to find out more in the next few days about Donatus Moniunis, but really, that's a secret that only Daryl Morey and Demo's agent know at this point. The rest of us, we are just refreshing Twitter, checking our text messages, and waiting to see what breaks. Until then, it's time to sign off. If you want to reach the show, again, Locked On Rockets is the Twitter handle. The official email account for advertising or other inquiries is lockedonrockets@gmail.com. And, of course, you can always reach out to me at Ben Dubose. Until next time, we'll see you later.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.